my guest today. John Harbison has stopped by. You're almost like, you know, Halley's Comet. except it's every year with you, not every 75, mm-hmm. when you are in town as director, founder, and performer in the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival. Welcome back, Mr. John Harbison.
Nice to be here again, Norman.
What's the plan for this year? Do you have a? You usually have a theme for these festivals, don't you?
Well, we have themes. Plural. And we have really very coherent programs. Each one has a kind of logic of its own. The first concert is a dialogue of a friendship, the friendship being Haydn and Mozart, a friendship about which quite a lot is known.
Yes.
About which I will say some things I hope that people have not heard before. And we will play music by those two composers, trios by Haydn and duo sonatas by Mozart. Then we're doing something I think quite locally themed, built around the poet Laureen Niedecker.
From Fort Atkinson.
Indeed, she was. We have sort of structured two events around her work. One is an afternoon forum, in which will include a film in which she her place in Fort Atkinson is seen, and she also reads, the only recorded reading of her, actually, of her own work. And we will converse with her biographer, Margot Peters. And then in the evening, there will be another concert involving the same performers as in the afternoon, the wonderful Lucy Fitzgibbon and Ryan McCullough. Ryan, a returnee to our festival. And they will present a vocal recital, which includes, again, words of Niedecker and some new pieces and older pieces, Purcell and Schumann being the older folks.
Quite a combination.
And Kaya Sarriaho, Nicola Athens, and Nicholas Vines. This is a duo that keeps up very much on the composers of their generation. And it's exciting that they're bringing this really, I think, very fresh set of pieces here.
And all of this, by the way, happens in a barn.
It does, in a barn, in a small setting. Then, also within the barn, with the performers taking up most of the space, fit the public in sort of into the cracks, the last concert where we are completing our cycle of Brandenburg concertos with number one, which is a large piece, many, many people.
And those are great performances. I mean, they really, there's something about those Token Creek Brandenburgs that seem like jam sessions of some
they
kind.
They are like jam sessions.
I'm not exactly sure what it is, because every note's written, and then it seems so spontaneous.
We were talking about playing today. We're not going to, but the 6th Brandenburg, where Sally Chisholm reminded me always of Lester Young whenever she came in. They do have a certain unbuttoned character. I think this will, too. We're being joined by the Lydian Quartet, which will be performing also the third program. They will play their own concert, which is, I think, a very typical Lydian program with two pieces they commissioned and a Mendelssohn Quartet. And then they will join us for this Bach Brandenburg and, quite uncharacteristically for us, two composers that we have, I think, never played before, to our great shame, Corelli and Handel.
You've never played Handel. Well, you know, there are so many composers out there.
I haven't. Maybe the archives would show a different result, but that's a shocking and, I would say, embarrassing.
Making
embarrassing
up our lost
admission.
Yeah. Time, though. And
also a duo by Martinu and some very interesting little duets from Mozart's opera Magic Flute, which we think were made by Mozart, but we're not sure. So that last program involves a lot of players and should be fun. It is built, of course, around the first Brandenburg, which is the largest of the Brandenburgs by quite a lot, and in some ways the grandest. And the one that usually, actually, when you perform all six, which we used to do at Emmanuel Music, comes last. Yeah, the reverse order having become the normal one. Mm-hmm. And provides the, as it does here, the
grand
sort
finale.
Of fitting grand finale. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Haydn. And, of course, you have wonderful recordings from, this is your 26th season now, Token Creek Chamber Music Festival.
Many.
And so we'll be dipping into the archives for some things, including this Haydn piano trio that you mentioned.
Yes, this is the one of three pieces in grand pieces in E-flat trios, the next to last one. These all come from late in his career, really many cases after the symphonies and after most of the quartets. So they are very intimate pieces, experimental, wild-ranging pieces. We're going to hear the opening of a very big movement, and we'll hear about 3 minutes, and then the listeners can imagine Haydn then taking off for another 7 minutes and finding all kinds of consequences, for which we can barely imagine, which maybe when we manage to put together this performance, which I think we will, and release it, you can follow up on.
Just giving you a taste there of that Haydn piano trio, and as you can imagine, not only was Haydn at the peak of his powers as a composer, but he was requiring the performers to be at the peak of their powers too.
It's a wonderful music. Charles Rosen's book, Classical Style, which is one of those books that I think anyone can read and get really a huge sense of what he's saying, is really responsible for, I'd say, the modern interest, or at least revival, such as it is, of the Haydn trios, because he makes for many pages such a wonderful case for so many of those pieces. And they are music, they are certainly music for people who have heard a lot of music, but they can be heard by anyone. They're just so filled with greatest of invention. That was Rosemary Harbison, Perry Karp, cello, and Yafei Chuang, piano, on that performance.
One of the previous Token Creek Chamber Music Festival performances, and this year's Token Creek Chamber Music Festival runs from Which dates, John Harbison?
Starts on the 22nd, Saturday. There are two performances of that, 22nd and 23rd. Then the Nidecker event on Tuesday, the 25th, which starts in the afternoon and continues through the evening. And then the guest recital by Lydian Quartet on the...
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, here it is. Yes, on the 27th, Thursday. And then the final concert on the following weekend, which will be the 29th and 30th, and Saturday and Sunday
you
afternoon.
You can get all that info at, if you just Google Token Creek Chamber, let's see, what is the address? Token Creek Chamber Music Festival or something shorter than that, as I recall.
Yes. Info at Token Creek Festival, one word, .org.
There you go. I thought it was something more pithy than I was giving you.
They're pretty pithy.
And fairly obvious, too. Now, you mentioned the Lydian String Quartet, John, and they have actually released some CDs on the Centaur label of your own, some of your own string quartets.
They have. They recorded my first four quartets. Actually, they initially did the first two, and then they added to those in completely new recordings with the with a somewhat different membership. They have been established for, I think, about 30 years, and the original, there's one original member, Judith Eisenberg, still with the group. Daniel Stepner has been the principal violinist for the first violinist for a long time. Mark Berger, a composer hyphen violist, a rare but not unusual breed, which would include Elgar, Mozart, Bach,
that's true,
and so forth.
There aren't Mozart, yes,
yeah,
as you say.
He is recently joined the quartet, and Josh Gordon came on almost 10 years ago now, replacing Rhonda Ryder. They are an extraordinary group, and they will be. They've just also brought out a great sequence of the Beethoven, the late Beethoven quartets. If you've heard lots of versions of that, and you really think you've heard them all, you really need the Lydians. There's such a different perspective about what those pieces are about. And they include extremely interesting and I think quite original notes by Daniel Stepner, thoughts about the pieces. Their recording of my quartets, this one dates back about 7 or 8 years. And I think we're going to hear the second movement of number 2.
Yeah, so what about it?
Well, it's called Concerto, and I guess you'll hear it's a piece of sort of continuous motoric energy, and it will lead without pause, but we won't hear it, into a big slow movement, which comes next, a kind of aria.
The Lydian String Quartet with the second movement. It's called Concerto from the String Quartet No. 2 by my guest, John Harbison. Thank you. Does it sound different every time you hear it, John? Your own composition, but the same recording?
This piece has been recorded by four different quartets. And yes, depending on who's playing. The Emerson quartet of it, particularly, because they're such muscular guys, it's a completely different approach. I mean, it sounds more like power lifting. but it always, fortunately, that's what performance does. It just completely revises the piece in interesting ways.
Yeah. And in fact, it would be very difficult to reproduce exactly any performance, wouldn't it?
Sure, and I think that's why it's so exciting as a composer to at least keep your mind open about what might happen. I sometimes have, fellows at Tanglewood who feel that they can control or that the performance is already engraved mm-hmm. in their ear, and they're in for trouble because that's really not the best way to get a result.
You always have to be open to it.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of best results and varying performances over the years, the Brandenburg Concertos of Bach you've recorded. Have you recorded, you must have recorded all six of them over the years?
We haven't put them out on our discs. We could. I actually was going back into the Brandenburg Five, which we did over at the Gates of Heaven with Bob Levin. I remember turning pages for him. He insisted on using a photostat of the manuscript.
Oh, really?
So I never knew where he was, particularly because the manuscript, it kind of goes up the side of the page once in a while. And, but I remember that one very well, and that would be fun to bring out because he, of course, plays that quasi-improvised cadenza as if he's improvising it. We've recorded on this disc that you have with you, the sixth and the second are on that, with two concertos which are not Brandenburg's by Bach. This version, I think one of the reasons we were interested to have it out, and in fact both of them, we had some ideas which I think were unusual. In the case of the one, the viola piece, the sixth, we really at least had come to believe that the bass line had always been played in the wrong octave.
Oh, really?
Having to do with some really good research about the Weimar period and what sort of continual bass file was being used. It simply didn't have those low notes. And, of course, the piece sounds very different when you suddenly move the sonority up. A very different sort of more athletic impression is made, I guess. And in the case of the Brandenburg, we discovered that it had been discovered that there was another version for the horn. That is, instead of the very, very, very high trumpet
right.
that we've all heard
right.
many times, freakishly high and uniquely high in the work of Bach, which had puzzled people a lot, the F trumpet, that there was another part clearly for the horn, which is in, at least in Bach terms, normal register for the horn. It then revises the way you hear the whole solo texture, moving that very prominent part down into the middle of the texture. And this seemed to be such an interesting notion. Back when we did this performance, it had very seldom been tried. Since then, I've noticed lots of performances of the piece with the horn replacing the trumpet. I think there are many advantages. There's certainly the expectation of hearing that high wire yes. act is somewhat thwarted, because the horn, as though it's an exciting kind of call to arms kind of sound, it's not nothing like hearing a trumpet up in the Maynard Ferguson range of the instrument. But I think the general effect is quite successful, and we're going to hear the last movement of the Second Brandenburg, which is one of the most, almost I'd say, kind of Handelianly, masculinely energetic.
I was going to say, it's sort of a smoking fiddle.
It's a smoker, yeah.
Fast piece. Wow, that does have a different sound from the usual trumpet versions.
Yeah, I think it's pretty exciting. It certainly always is going to retain a certain energy, that kind of piece. That was Adam Kunzel, flute, Mark Fink, oboe, Bernard Scully, horn, and Kangwon Kim, violin, the soloists, and the ensemble from Token Creek. And I think that was in the church, right? St. Andrew's
Church. Good venue for that kind of recording.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I should mention again, Token Creek Chamber Music Festival takes place in Token Creek, Wisconsin, which is between Madison and Sun Prairie, and takes place each year at the end of August, beginning very first couple of days of September, usually.
Yeah, it usually is just before Labor Day.
And you can find out more about it. What's that site again?
It is info.
Yes, info at
tokencreekfestival.org.
Okay.
Or by mail.
Okay, tokencreekfestival.org. Well, thanks, John Harbison, for stopping by again this year.
Nice to be here again, Norman.
Look forward to the next time, and have a great time with the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival 2015.